Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Adam White on the show, and he is CEO and co-founder over at TrueFit Adaptive Fitness. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Adam. So excited about today's topic. So we're going to talk about connecting adaptive athletes with coaches and community, and also, you know, how you're doing some work through the school systems. I mean, we got a lot to cover today. You got an affiliate program for those interested in helping out. I mean, there's just layers on this one. So I'm excited to get into TrueFit, of course. But before we do, we're going to start this episode the way that we start them all, with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So, Adam, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Adam, what mission matters to you?
Improving the health and wellness of people with intellectual, developmental, and physical disabilities is our mission, and providing them a community that supports them on their mission of doing that themselves.
Yeah. And I want to start with, really, as we get into today's topic, like adaptive athletes, that's what you're working with. Can you help define that first for some people that maybe haven't heard the term?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a broad definition, right? And it depends on sort of where you are and what your experiences are. But for the most part, we focus on the community with individuals with intellectual, which are maybe Down syndrome, developmental would be a cerebral palsy, a neurodivergent community like autism. And then also physical disabilities, which would be amputees or spinal cord injury, that sort of area as well.
Mm-hmm. And so thank you for defining that, because I like to kind of start the conversation there, and maybe just kind of going a little bit further, like how did you get on this path, and how did you get on this mission to really co-founding TrueFit?
Yeah. So my brother is the personal trainer side and the fitness side of mm-hmm. TrueFit. And he lives out in California. I went out to visit, do a little surfing with him, and ended up working with him. I knew he was doing some training with you know, various people with disabilities out there. Didn't mm-hmm. really know much about it. Knew he was working with an organization there called the Arc of San Diego. Mm-hmm. And one day he was like, "Hey, like, come out and volunteer with me. I got a big group today. We got a bunch of classes. It's going to be fun." And that was sort of my introduction to this community. And in those few hours, I got more hugs and more just smiles and high fives and positive feedback from so many people, not just people with disabilities, but their parents and their grandparents and their caregivers. And I started learning a little bit about what he did and how unique it was and how impactful it was within this sort of microcosmic community there in San Diego, right? It's this little Arc of San Diego. They're actually a pretty large organization. But he was really making an impact there, and I got to see it firsthand. And that sort of sparked a conversation with he and I. And we, you know, I was like, started asking questions like, why is this so popular? What makes this so unique? Like all of these different things. And that sort of, it sent me down a rabbit hole, you know. And on my drive back, because I'm in New Mexico. So on my drive back to New Mexico after that trip, I just sort of started thinking, and I couldn't quit thinking. And I was like, there's a problem that needs to be solved. And
wow. And
my brother has created, you know, this method that we know works on this scale within this organization. But there's a much larger population out there. And it's like, so how do we solve this widespread, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, he and I just started talking a lot more about this, and like, what could we do? How could we scale this? How could we make the biggest impact possible? Which led us to, you know, software and technology and learning how to embrace that in order to achieve and build the solution.
Mm. How did you know? So obviously, like, as entrepreneurs out there, we have lots of ideas, a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs that watch this show. How did you know that this was going to be like it, like your idea, your thing that obviously you and your brother, like, how did you know that you're like, okay, this has legs. Like, we actually want to pursue this. Was it a build up? Was it a moment? Like, there had, I know the initial idea where it came from, but how did you know, okay, we're going to be serious about this?
So there is a program in San Diego called San Diego Sports Innovators. It was founded by Bill Walton and a group of investors and advisors. It's grown to be a pretty big organization in the Southern California area. We applied and were accepted into this sort of accelerator or incubator program. Mm-hmm. And we decided, you know, let's stress test this. Let's put together a pitch. Let's, you know, work with some advisors over a, you know, a 6-month period and see if we can actually create what we envision, at least to a scale where the feedback we get when we sort of pitch in this competition at the end, it's enough. There's enough positive reaction where people are like, hey, you're onto something. This is necessary. This is needed. And, you know, and as we dove deeper and kept learning and just, you know, I mean, researching the data and just everything, you know, as I grew more knowledgeable about this community, I grew more certain that this was something that we needed to do. And that was really impactful for me. And then also just meeting these individuals, you know, one-on-one, you know, some of our friends that we now call friends, you know, and seeing how like these, what we were doing and how that was affecting them in such a positive light, empowering them and creating more independence or confidence for them. That was really reinforcing for us.
Now, before this, were you the entrepreneur type? Would you call yourself a serial entrepreneur? Was this like one of your first like serious ventures? Like, give me a little bit of feel on the entrepreneurship side.
Yeah. So, you know, TrueFit actually initially was not started with a disability focus at all. It was my brother and I had actually invented a fitness product back in 2010, 2011. And we had that sort of on autopilot. It was, it was selling a little bit here and there, but it didn't take off the way we wanted it to, but we kept it going. And, you know, he went back and did some personal training. And then I started working in a different industry here in New Mexico and did pretty well there. And then when this happened, we were just like, well, we have a company, we have a fitness company.
Yeah.
Like, let's just sort of put everything else that we've done before to the side and let's just reinvent it. Let's take it and pivot and make this what it needs to be. So we were there. We just needed to find, you know, what was the real mission of TrueFit, and we just it hadn't been presented to us yet. And this is, you know, since that day, this has just been, this has been everything for us. I mean, this encompasses for myself and my brother, this is our entire life. Like,
man, I love this story, Adam. For my long-term, like hardcore listeners, they know a little bit about our backstory here, but for the new ones, briefly. So our original company was called Money Matters. It was Money Matters Top Tips. My background was finance, and I thought myself and my other partner, we thought we were starting a financial education platform. And as we got further and further, I mean, we're talking like a couple years in, like finally it had been shown to us and we had this moment of clarity. And it's like, wait a minute, our content's about mission. And it actually came from a moment when I was doing an interview and somebody, one of the guests I was interviewing said, you know, Adam, money matters, but mission matters too. It hit me like a lightning bolt. And I'm like, wow. And I was just, and so we literally relaunched the entire brand. So it's interesting when I hear someone pivot or relaunch or something else to where they had this seed of an idea and, you know, they thought they had the end game plan. Obviously, it was a product in the beginning. And then when they finally met, like, it, their mission, their goal, their purpose, when it finally, like, aligns, like, things start to happen. It's weird. Right. It's hard to explain. So that's why I tell a bit of my story. So others that are listening that are maybe they think they're on the right path. Maybe they're not. I'm not no crystal balls over here. I'm not claiming I have it all figured out by any means. But I love bringing these examples out because there's no way if somebody would have told you when you first started that first iteration of the company, we'll say that this is what it was going to morph into. Like what would you have said? Right.
I would have been like, absolutely not. I don't even know. Like, you know, at that time I didn't know.
You didn't even know. Like, yeah.
I didn't even really know anyone with a disability overall.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I knew a few people here or there, but I was not close to that population of people. It wasn't, you know, by any fault of my own or anything. It was just, you know, how life plays out. I just didn't happen to meet someone in that, in that space. And when I did, for me, it was life-changing, you know, and really being like awakened to, and this is the thing. And I've done this in other interviews, but you know, there's a, for me, looking at myself 5 years ago and not really being associated with this population. And now I can see that there's this, in a way, they're like a ghost population, you know, and, depending on some data, but for the most part, you can argue that they're the largest minority population in the world. And unfortunately, they're also one of the most underserved. There are very, very few resources out there for them, especially in terms of health and wellness compared to a general population, right? And also just quality of life, right? Their quality of life is defined differently than yours or mine. And they need resources that are given to them and provided for them. And when we saw that there were very few effective, affordable, and, you know, just resources in terms of health and wellness overall, that's when my brother and I were just like, look, how do we solve this problem? You know? Yeah. And even since then, there's probably quite a long metamorphosis from the original idea of what we came up with for an app to where that app is now and where we envision it going, you know, in the near future and even further out. So, yeah.
So talk to me a little bit more about the problem or let's say the opportunity, right? Like the challenges that are actually faced in the population for adaptive athletes. Like talk to me about why this matters.
Right. So there's 1.5 billion people in the world with at least one disability of intellectual, developmental, or physical disability. Depending on the definition of disability within the U.S., because that can vary slightly, you're looking at somewhere between 45 to 60 million people have some type of disability. You know, and when you look at that, and then you also look at health data, right? So CDC, Mayo Clinic, you can find a little bit of data on the disability population, but there's still not a lot, surprisingly. There roughly right now about 40% of the population is considered obese. So one of the highest obesity rates in the country. Additionally, as an adult, they're 2.5 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. They're 3.5 times more likely to develop cardiovascular disease. There's a propensity for more drastic and more impactful falls, right? So if they fall, not all of them, but a lot of them might not have the same kind of fight or flight reaction that you or I do. So, and I've witnessed this, and it was pretty terrible looking, like a lot of blood involved in this accident. But, you know, had he known how to react, right, that would have been less of an impact on him physically, right? And so looking at these kind of things and saying like, well, how can we do something about that? Like type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease and obesity, like, we just need to get them moving. We need to get them active. We need to motivate the community to say, you know what, instead of watching television in the afternoon or doing whatever they're doing, let's get them moving for an hour, 30 minutes, let's create a fun environment where we're having a good time. We're learning about exercise, maybe some meditation, or we even do dance and martial arts and all of that, right? All of that just contributes to starting to move the needle away from that sedentary side and getting a little more active, you know, and there's organizations out there like Special Olympics that have done a great job of getting their athletes to, you know, to train and do that, but they still hit a very small portion of this population. And, you know, and there's just, that's just what it is, right? So what we wanted to do was look at what was out there, which was very, very, like, there's really not much out there, and say like, okay, what can we do to take this and take it to a nationwide level? Like, what can we do to have this adopted across the nation and then take it further even globally, right? Because this exists in every country in the world, right? So how do we do that? And technology for us was our one solution, really. And that's, you know, that's the great thing about what we have now with apps and all of this is it allows us to build community. And whether you're in person or you're remote, like right now, you know, 20 years ago, we would be doing this in a studio. We don't need to do that anymore, right? So we can do this through StreamYard, you know? So it gives us these points of connection that weren't there. So it opens up opportunities that, you know, for this population that maybe no one had ever thought of. And now we are, and now we're looking to build this platform or this foundation to get this community off the ground.
And something, and speaking of getting this off the ground, like I know, like, how are you rolling this out? Like, I understand you have an adaptive PE program as well. Like how are you rolling this out?
Right. So let me preface that real quick though. And this is very important is one of the things in the stages of learning for this is, what we realized is to support the adaptive athlete, it is not enough, right? What we have to do is we have to support their entire community that they have directly supporting them on the average day or week, right? So we have to be able to support their parents or caregivers. We have to be able to support their school teachers if they're in school. We want to be able to support their occupational therapists and physical therapists because many of them are in some type of therapy to help them with mobility and those kind of things. And by being able to support this direct community around them, we're able to successfully support that individual. And so that is what we looked at in terms of creating this platform was how do we take one individual and connect them with everybody else around? And you know, for instance, we have a young man in California who his parents set up, they signed up as coaches and they brought him on as an athlete. And his occupational therapist has also joined. And the reason that she came on as a coach was because now she's connected to Ben. She's also connected to his parents and they can chat in the app and talk about what he's working on. But what it also looks like, you know, insurance will only pay for 1 hour per week for Ben, right? For PT or OT, right? So she gets 1 hour a week. And then there's like basically next week and you got six, you know, almost 7 days basically between that time. And what is he doing? Well, he's probably not thinking about the physical therapy he did. But now what she can do is she can say, look, we're working on this concept or this therapy. And here are three or four activities or exercises that complement that. So I want you to work on that throughout the week, record it. We'll monitor what you're doing, and then we'll reevaluate it next week. So the idea when it comes to like,
and now the other coaches too. So just to make sure I understand properly, the other coaches, in this case, the parents, they have access to that data too, right? So now they know.
They're all connected through a private group that is secure for them, and they can let anyone in to join, and they can be a part of that group to support Ben on improving his mobility and his health and wellness overall, right? So that is what we're trying to achieve. Just one sort of small example of it. You know, for me, the perfect envisionment of this is an athlete who's connected to his or her friends. They're all challenging each other. The parents are part of this. Their school is involved where they're also in an adaptive PE program where this is all connected through the school. If they have OTs and PTs, they're connected to those athletes, you know. And then if they have a nonprofit organization like National Down Syndrome Society, one of their local affiliates, maybe that affiliate organization on a local level has set up a Down Syndrome fitness club. And if they have Down Syndrome, maybe they're a part of that. And so then they have this sort of circle of support around them and everyone is connected through the app to make sure that individual or that group of individuals is doing something positive in terms of improving health and wellness. And we feel like that's sort of the best approach in order to nurturing this change in this community.
And so it truly is a community. So what you're describing, so because, and it really does take a community for the adaptive athlete. And maybe just to, cause remember before you were part of this community, if you had never met anyone that was an adaptive athlete, you didn't really understand what even fitness meant to that person. Right. So maybe kind of go into that a little bit about what fitness may mean to one person versus another, cause it's not like a one size fits all when you're talking about an adaptive athlete.
Exactly. You know, fitness for someone could be mobility, right? I want to be able to move. Maybe I have restricted movement because of my disability and I want to be able to change that. I want to, you know, even increase it a little bit. Maybe that leads to a little bit more independence. A friend of ours who has cerebral palsy, he's in a power wheelchair. One of his goals was to be able to transfer out of his wheelchair without assistance, which is something that he had struggled with for years to do. And he and my brother worked together and they sort of set up a plan of how to get Ben, you know, to do this. And one night he did it. He put himself to bed, you know, and his father called my brother and and he was just, I mean, it was a very emotional phone call. And,
absolutely.
And for me, that was one of my first sort of learning moments of enlightenment about what we were doing and also about what the definition of fitness was, right? Fitness for you or I might be losing weight, getting a little bit more muscle tone, maybe running a marathon, you know, something along those lines. Fitness for Ben was independence. You know, I just want to be able to get out of my chair without assistance so I can also give my dad more independence.
Yeah.
I don't have to rely on him as much. Right. So for them, it not only affected Ben and improving independence and confidence, right, but also giving the family more independence because now they know that this is something that he could do that maybe they didn't think a year ago that he could possibly ever accomplish. And, you know, opening those doors is, you know, is a really big effort. And it also helps, you know, me and people that we work with looking at what we're doing and how we're trying to help those individuals and create those impacts. It really validates what we're trying to do, which is great. But, you know, and it's just, it gives you a new perspective of life and how some people live life, you know, that are different. And I love that. I love, you know, for me, that's what drives me every day is thinking about Ben, thinking about my buddy, Chris. Love Chris. He's an amazing guy. And he's my motivator, you know, my brother would tell you that every time I get frustrated with this startup, I think about our friends that we work with and what we've helped them with and what they've helped us with. And that community and that companionship that we have created, and that's what keeps me going, you know. And you know, thankfully, my brother, you know, I tell people, and there's no box for him to think outside of, and that's about my brother John is, you know, it doesn't exist. The box probably never existed in his life. He's always sort of had.
Sounds like trouble when you two were younger, but that's another interview. Go ahead.
I think my parents would agree with that, you know, but. But for instance, our friend Bernie, she has Down syndrome. She's a young adult. I think she's maybe close to 30 right now. And, you know, my brother had been doing some personal training with her. And one day they were in the park and she wanted to swing. And I can't remember if it was her mom or her dad, but they said, oh, well, she doesn't know how to swing. And John is like, what do you mean she doesn't know how to swing? Well, we've tried to teach her forever and we've never been able to teach her how to swing. So he was sort of like, all right, you know, challenge accepted. And so the next session, he showed up with a ball and he had Bernie sit on the swing and he's like, okay, I'm going to hold this ball up. And when I drop it, I want you to kick your legs out. And all I want you to do is think about kicking this ball for me.
Yeah.
You know, took a few tries, but she kicked the ball. She also kicked her legs out and brought them back. And all of a sudden she started moving and she realized there's a connection at that point, right? She realized, wait a second. Right. She's one of our team leaders now. She's leads a lot of our live streams with my brother and teaches people and shares her favorite exercises with people that are watching our shows. And, you know, but it was like people have tried all different ways to teach her how to propel herself on a swing. And it took was removing the box of thought and saying, how can I trick her into doing this movement? Well, let me get a ball. Let me just have her kick it. We're not even going to think about swinging. We're going to think about kicking a ball. And then all of a sudden, boom, now she can swing. And that is the uniqueness that I've always watched my brother apply to the program development. There's always, you know, taking one exercise and then thinking of five different ways to adapt that exercise so we can work with someone who's ambulatory, you know, or someone who might be, you know, using a wheelchair. So there's the, you know, and that's how he approaches all of it. And it's a very unique approach. And for me, it was like, okay, how do we share that with the world? And that's where we started, you know, that's why we created this app and this platform and what we're working on right now.
I want to circle back to that, something you mentioned about the schools and also the adaptive PE part of things. So I understand the community and everything that you're doing, but like, obviously you want to get this out to as many people as possible. Like how do schools or school systems play a part?
So schools are huge, right? There's a reason that Apple went to schools, right? Back in the 80s and 90s, right? They come in with their computers and they teach people how to use Apple. Well, we're going to take a similar approach, but different, right? We want to get into schools because we want to, you know, over time, change that trajectory of obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, those kind of things, right? So schools play a very important role in being able to achieve that for the younger population now. So we realized that for the most part, the app would work in a similar setting in terms of creating a group for a special education classroom. Growing up where I grew up in Louisiana, one of my PE classes, you know, we had the special education class in our PE class. And, you know, it was a while ago, I'm, you know, I'm 45. So it's been a while, but I remember they didn't participate with us. They would sit there on the sidelines, you know, but they went to PE. So they got the grade, you know, but
yeah.
Did they benefit from what we were doing? They never benefited at all. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I mean, there's a lot of schools out there that do have adaptive PE programs now, and they're more and more, but there's the vast majority don't, right? Or they need improvement on that. So what we started doing was looking at the program and the technology we had, and can we apply this in a school setting? And we realized that we could. We a little bit of an adaptation here and there, but for the most part, we did. We just recently finished our curriculum development. So we have a full-on 121-page curriculum for teachers to teach them about this. And right now, what we're doing is we just started this a couple weeks ago. What we're doing is we're outreaching to schools throughout the nation, looking for schools who want to be a part of a 2024-25 year school year pilot program. In exchange for their feedback, we're giving the program to them for free. You know, our goal is to get as many teachers and parents and students on board using the app, because we know we have a good program, but we want a great program. And we're not going to get that great program unless they use it and give us the feedback from their perspective. Then we can take that and make this program great. And so that's what we're doing. That's one of our main focuses this year. We want to roll that out in like that August, September, sort of, you know, beginning of the school year launch, and work with those schools through May or June of 25 and work with them, get the feedback from them, take that, build the program, make it better, and then come into 25, 26 school year with a great adaptive PE program that not only helps the students, but helps the teachers, helps those PE coaches, and helps the parents, helps start building those communities at that school level. And that's a big component of building this overall community. So that's what we're doing right now.
Man, that's a great story. And I love the fact, like, when a person can, or a company can allow somebody to try it and make them part of, you know, this is its own beta. I know it's already an active product and I already know you have another market, but in terms of like allowing them to give feedback so that you can make the product better for them. I mean, it doesn't cost, I mean, that's such a win-win scenario and situation for scaling and also for providing more benefit essentially. So the students that get to be part of that now in this school year and next school year, where you've made the barrier of entry very low, I mean, they're going to benefit. Like, this is going to be life changing for some of those students that don't get to participate or maybe haven't had access to the exact type of training or ideas that your platform provides. I think awesome, amazing idea. Speaking of the rollout plan and also how others can get involved, I understand there's also a affiliate program that people can consider. Like, tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So the affiliate program is also sort of a pilot program this year. We're in the process of launching that right now. We recognize there's a lot of nonprofit organizations out there that provide advocacy and support and training for the disabled population.
Yeah.
And we want, I think that they are a very, very important component to this community, right? They're the most trusted resource for a parent to go to find resources for that child or that adult dependent. And I've talked to hundreds of nonprofits over the last 3 or 4 years about what their needs were. Many of them did not have a fitness program or like fitness club or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. They didn't really have that to offer to their members, but they were always very interested in being able to do that. One of the other things we always talked about was donations. A lot of times, you know, because they're a nonprofit, they're raising, we're a company, and I expected it, you know, but hey, could you donate 20, 25,000, you know, to our organization kind of thing. And, you know, we're a small startup, so budget's a little tight. Can't really do that just yet. But after a lot of these conversations and realizing just how important these organizations were and how much we sort of rely on their validation and their advocacy to bring this program to their members, we started looking at how could we support them? Like, is there a way that we could craft this? So what we've come up with is an affiliate style program for organizations where that nonprofit signs up as an affiliate and they advocate for us and they market this out to their members. We work with them to set up a fitness club locally or nationally or whatever their reach is. We can work with them to set up these clubs and their members join. And now they have this community through their organization that supports them with fitness and health and wellness. And this is a value proposition for an organization is this is another program that they can offer to their members. It builds more community. It builds more trust. Mm-hmm. But then on the back end, anyone who signs up through that organization's link, they make a commission, which is residual for the life of that paid subscription on the back end. So if you were a part of an organization that you signed up through and you were signed up for 5 years, that organization would make a commission month over month on that from your subscription. So it's a way for them to support their mission financially and for us to be able to support that. And then it also, we just ask them to put a little skin in the game and at the same time create this health and wellness community for their members, which so it's a win-win-win. And we're currently looking for organizations right now who are interested in signing up and being a part of this program as well. It's a huge part of building this community in a way. Yeah. We need those nonprofits on board to work with them. Same kind of situation, right? Got a good program because we know we're not going to give everything, but we need them on board. How can we support them better? How can we support their members better? We need that feedback. We need, you know, we need more and more people coming on, using it, giving us that feedback. And the organizations and their members and the schools and their students are very important to making that all happen.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, as I kind of learn more about yourself and True Fit and also the company, your brother, like the ethics behind it, the culture, also just you're so many win-win scenarios that you're designing here for the users of course, the platform, for the adaptive athletes, of course, the community surrounding it, the affiliates, the nonprofits, the school systems. Like there's just so many winners in this design and in this model that your team has created to help the adaptive athlete at the end, which at the beginning of the day, which was what your mission was here to do. And there's so many ways that you're fulfilling that. So I think it's a great story. One of the reasons I was excited to have you on the show and bring this to our audience. So now they're better educated too. And for those that, you know, like to get involved, they can. So speaking of getting involved, we talk about a lot of different stakeholders here, whether it's school systems, whether it's adaptive athletes, whether it's potential affiliates, like how do people follow up? How do they connect and how do they get started?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, in terms of reaching out to me, you know, can we put my email address and things?
Absolutely.
Leave it. Yep. You know, it's adam@gettruefit.com.
Yeah.
No E on true. A lot of people misspell it, but we learned that little mistake on the true part. Some people get confused. They can go to gettruefit.com. That's our marketing website. You know, they can learn more about, you know, how we support the athletes. And we're still in the process of building out a larger website to cover the school and a few other market verticals in there. But yeah, they can reach out to me directly, TrueFit on Facebook, on Instagram. I monitor all of those all the time. I'm always on it. So I'll respond to your message. You know, we're looking for schools. We're looking for organizations. We're looking for really anyone interested in supporting us to help build this community. And there's, I know there's a lot of people out there who know that this is needed and want to support it. And they just don't know we exist yet. So that's why I'm really happy to be on this program to help spread this message and get our mission out there and do that. So.
Amazing. Well, Adam, just want to say again, you know, thank you for coming on the program. And to everybody that's tuning in, hey, if this is your first time with Mission Matters, we're going to put all that information that Adam just mentioned, like the links and all that in the show notes so that you can just click on the links and head right on over. And also, if this is your first time, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, a whole lot of program we don't want you to miss. So this is your personal invitation to hit that subscribe button. And hey, if you're a longtime listener or viewer and you've been with us for a while and you want to, hey, leave that review. This is also your invitation for that. You've been watching us long enough. Leave the review. We love reviews. Helps the show, helps the reach. So we really do appreciate that. And Adam, really, seriously, I'm really excited about the work you and your brother are doing. Keep up the great work. And I can't wait to the next time we speak. So thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.